Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, a ministry of ground up grace, where the daily message frees you for forgiven living.
Freedom for forgiven living is grounded at the cross, where Jesus takes all your sins upon himself and gives you, in exchange, his abounding grace. Let's listen together and see where his grace frees us today.
For Saturday, December 4th, from Isaiah 45, verse 17, Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgraced to ages everlasting.
And from the New Testament text, it's Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father.
This verse from Matthew, talking about the sun and shining like the sun are the righteous, reminds me of the O antiphon that is used at the end of December for names of Jesus, referring to him as the Messiah from the book of Isaiah. And the one that goes with this really well is the concept of light. O dayspring, splendor of light everlasting, come and enlighten those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And who are those that are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death? Those who have been put to shame, those who are disgraced. And Jesus is the Messiah, the dayspring that's bringing this light everlasting into our lives. And he says, you are righteous and you are shining like the sun in the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Sonia. Today for our podcast, we have with us as a special guest, Christian, who joined us many, many months ago in Ohio. And he's back again by popular demand, at least Sonia and I demand that he come back, and that's popular enough. So welcome, Christian.
Thanks. Yeah, glad to be here.
And these two verses that Sonia spoke to here with her O antiphon as well convey something kind of curious to me. When I am shining like the sun on this side of heaven, I do experience disgrace and sometimes even shame. So the promise here for me is for some other time in my life when I will never be put to shame or disgraced.
Mm-hmm. I remember being in, can I tell a story?
Yeah.
I remember being a little kid, 7 years old, eight, whatever it was, elementary school, and being with my great aunt. And we were in a department store, and I saw a teddy bear. I asked her if I could get it. She said no. So I stuffed it down my pants, and she didn't notice. And we got up to the cash register, and I probably got like a third of it down, you know, down below my belt line, and the rest was sticking out. And the cash register lady looked at me and was just like, she was like, what is this kid? She's like, he is not, excuse me, ma'am, he cannot take that out of here. And my great aunt looked and saw that thing, and the look of absolute embarrassment on her face. I mean, it was hard, it was embarrassing, but it was actually like terrifying. Like, I remember the look on her face and being a little kid and seeing her look at me that way, being ashamed. And oh man, I could have crawled into a hole for the rest of my life. So you know, first of all, moral of the story, don't steal teddy bears, or at least do a better job than I did. The thought is, man, like, there is actually sort of a terror. We were talking about that, the fear of embarrassment, the fear of shame, the fear of disgrace that we have that kind of can run a lot of things in our life.
Well, it does, actually. And there's some good to that. It keeps us from doing things that we might not want to get caught doing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, the other side of this is when we do try to steal teddy bears in toy stores, there is a degree to which when we look at a person who is stealing, we would say, well, here's another sinner, and here's a sinner who needs the grace of God over and over again. So we're not surprised when people sin. That's a problem, I think. We assume that if you're saved and you live with an everlasting salvation, you should never shame me or disgrace me. Well, you will, because your sinful self will poke through like the teddy bear did poke through Christian's belt. And I think that's a very interesting image for me, that his aunt was ashamed. And she wouldn't have been ashamed if he had hidden the teddy bear completely.
Lewis, that's hilarious. What did Lewis say about shame, that it's like a medicine? It has to run its course. You know, you take that medicine. And so I'll hear people say, oh, shame, you know, that's not an accurate thing, or that's not a thing you should ever feel. It says that I'm unworthy. But to some extent, I'm like, there's probably times I should be ashamed.
Right.
And so then it's mind-boggling to think of being righteous in such a way, a permanent way, that there's never any sense of shame or embarrassment or doubt or question of that. But it says the Lord will do this, the Lord with an everlasting salvation.
Yeah.
It all goes back to Adam and Eve again, because what's the first thing they do? They hide. Hiding is a part of shame, and every kid that ever was stealing something or doing something wrong and then afraid they're going to get caught, they're hiding behind the curtain, they're hiding behind the chair. Hiding is a part of this, and we're very good at it. And I just caught myself hiding recently and had to kind of expose myself to my friends, and this was not an easy thing to do. To admit that I was hiding, because hiding is also deceit.
Yes. Mm. And then how did that work out, Sonia, when you had to admit to your friends that you were hiding and it was a source of shame for you? What happened?
I received grace upon grace.
Wow.
Love, I'll never reject you, just like words of Jesus.
Mm.
And I would not have expected it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's great.
It was very healing. Yeah. It was what I needed.
Well, it's what you needed. You know, and actually, you know, you're sick right now. And that's why we're not in the same room, because I was told by your doctor to not cavort with you while you were COVID-ed. And
that's
so
right.
I have the distance. I'm six feet away from you. Actually, more like 600,000 feet away from you.
Wait, is that why you're hanging out with me? It's because you can't hang out with your spouse. So it's hey, Christian, what are you doing this weekend? I don't want to just living like a bachelor over here and inviting your friends over. That's great.
I have no idea where this was going, so I'll just kind of pass on my thought.
No. Can I say, we're Johan and I are actually doing a little retreat this weekend, which is actually an unexpected blessing. Oh, sorry, Sonia. Sonia being homesick. So then we had this opportunity this weekend to do a little retreat. And I was asking Johan what he thinks heaven will be like. And not just heaven, but the resurrection, the new heavens and new earth. Go ahead.
These verses convey at least one element of it, that we will not feel shame or disgrace. And that's such a big part of the culture here is how often people make you feel unworthy. And you almost always look for a group of people that can at least make you feel okay. And I mean, this is one of the reasons why we have what we sometimes call the bar crowd, because at least with my bar friends, I don't feel ashamed. And there's all kinds of crowds like that, our gang, that make us feel acceptable. But we're not really truly acceptable, because we know we're hiding, like you said, Sonia. We're hiding something. And we don't want to come clean, like you came clean with your friends. We don't want to come clean because we're fearful of rejection. And the other side of it is, to come clean might mean that God has a plan for us to save us with an everlasting salvation instead of this temporary one we come up with on earth, where we really get free and we really shine. And there's a shining within us that is not about something we have created, because this is like the sun, and no one on this side of heaven can shine like the sun. But the Lord can create that kind of shine within us.
Sonia, I told Johan this weekend that there is someone that I actually should be praying for probably every day. And They should be on my prayer list. And I hadn't prayed for them the entire fall, twice this fall, because of some hurt and some bitterness, resentment that I was feeling. And it was so embarrassing to admit that. Even to, I mean, I don't, Johan's not going to judge me, but to admit that was pretty hard. But then there's such instant relief and then restoration and moves you into a place of like, do I truly want to just keep this thing in a place where I'm avoiding the shame or whatever? No, I'd actually rather face a little bit of embarrassment with a brother here who's gonna speak absolution over me. I'd rather face the embarrassment and get free, and then there's a possibility of a new behavior.
Right.
Because I was actually refusing to pray for this person in my nightly prayers with Ebby when we're like, now I lay me down to sleep. God bless so-and-so, and I was leaving that person out every night. So I'm like, wow, how embarrassing. But then it's like, wow, I don't even have the strength in me. I don't have the will to do that, but then confess absolution, some forgiveness and renewal and release, and then it's like, okay, I guess it's time to start praying for this person, Lord. Thank you for the grace.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Thank you for sharing
how long it takes for us to get free to be able to do that. But it takes someone speaking the truth in love to us too and saying, I really think you need to take care of this, and I got that from another person. So that is always an encouragement to take something on that we would normally not do, because we kind of want to keep having them hurt, or we want to keep somehow not blessing them. We kind of want to keep the curse going a little bit longer.
Yep. There it is. Yep.
Yeah.
So the ABC of the Advent Challenge: absolve, bless, and communicate with the Lord is coming back again to us as we look at these verses today to get us free.
Can I be honest? When Johan told me that Nathan had come up with this ABC, and he didn't tell me what A, B, or C meant yet, he said A, absolution, B, bless. And I was really hoping C was curse, and I couldn't think of another thing that it was going to be. I was like, okay, good, we're getting to the imprecatory stuff. But no, turned out it was communicate with the Lord.
There you go.
Praise the Lord. Well, would you be willing to read the prayer for the day, Christian?
Sure. Father, I'm grateful that you have pursued me. Though I didn't deserve it, you saved me with an everlasting salvation. You don't shame or disgrace me. Instead, you cause me to shine like the sun. You give me life in your kingdom. How can I not praise you and share you with others? Holy Spirit, empower me to do so. Amen.
Amen.
Good.
So I guess we're going to sing a song. And I was thinking, you know, we've got this song, Jesus Loves Me, that we think was written for the little kids. And it's kind of a kids song. And we tend to despise kids things. But there's a verse that just hits so strong. We're going to sing it right now together.
Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let this little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Whatever your daily grind may be, know that you are grounded in the grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I am.